Welcome everybody to another episode of Off the Bench. I'm your host Ken. Joining me, as usual, is B and FIFO. And this week we're going to talk about, of course, LeBron James and get into a little all-star conversation with 12 Kyle from Dead End Sports and Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, the Sixers, and Dwayne Wade.
One of the hottest stories in the NBA right now is some comments that were made by LeBron James. LeBron James seems to be somewhat perturbed, if you will, that the Cleveland Cavaliers do not have a playmaker. And he wants another playmaker, a ball handler, someone who can help, carry the load that he and Kyrie Irving are carrying. This came on the heels of a loss to the New Orleans Pelicans, who didn't have Anthony Davis in the lineup. And Cleveland has dropped a few games, and, you know, frustration is setting in. So, B, I'll start first with you, man. What do you make of LeBron's comments, and what do you think ultimately is going to happen to this team?
I mean, what playmakers? They just won a championship. they pretty much have the same squad. I mean, if you add Kay Fielder and who else? I mean, you just got Kyle Korver. I don't know if he's worried because J.R. Smith. I mean, is J.R. Smith a playmaker? I mean, what does LeBron want? I mean, he just want another point guard. I guess that's what he mean by playmaker. But I don't know, man. I'm still kind of at all at him going public with this, you know.
Dang.
But for the second time, I guess. I mean, I understand you that dude, you the superstar, and you know you want to demand, you know, players, but it's like, dude, you freaking just came back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals. I don't understand. I mean, I don't see. I'm looking at this roster, and it's like, okay, what do you want? Who are you going to trade? Who are you going to give up? What are you trying to get? I think we talked about on off the bench, like the point guards that, you know, Cavs can probably try to work and try to get if he's talking about playmakers. I think he's getting to an age now where he's like, look, I ain't going to be playing these 35, 36 plus minutes because, you know, I'm getting worn out. I'm getting tired. You know, they say he got like over how many minutes in his career? Like he played like
40,000.
Huh?
40,000.
Yeah, 40,000 minutes. Dang. So, you know, huh?
No, I said that's a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying. So I think he's getting to a point to where he's like, look, I can't always be the playmaker for almost a good 80% of 48 minutes in the game. You know what I'm saying? So I think he wants to have that load taken off of him and Kyrie. I get it, but it's just kind of like, dude, y'all just won a championship. Like, get out of here. Like, damn, toughen it up. Who else you going to bring? I mean, who you going to bring over to LeBron? You going to bring, like, another superstar over there? You know, it's just like, come on. Like, you good. If you want to get you a backup, go get, like people sitting off the bench, go get a Jerry Jack or something. Maybe that should help. You know, but don't try to – I hope he's not, like, saying let's go out there and get a superstar. Technically, he didn't say that, but I just hope that's not the case he's saying to the GM behind closed doors. We were just saying how when Kyle Korver got traded over there, like, oh, man, like, this is going to make it a lot easier for the Cavs. And everyone was saying that, oh, man, Kyle Korver, they got another knockdown, you know, shooter in over there with Channing Frye and da-da-da-da.
LeBron didn't say it.
Huh? I know. I'm just talking about this in general, like how now, you know, people are just saying, like, well, yeah, he do need another guy. We were just praising how the heck he getting Kyle Korver is help opening up the court more, and not to mention once J.R. Smith come back. So I don't know, man. Like, I really don't get it. I don't know why he's fussing and whining. Not saying that he's the only superstar that done that. We've seen superstars in the past fuss and whine. Yeah. I know. Trust me. Yeah, fuss and whine about roster situations. You know, right. So I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, if he wants to express his displeasure of the roster, then yes. I mean, hey, we in the social media era, so if you want to put it out there like that, put it out there. I don't think he shouldn't did it the way he did, but you know, it's just me. It's just personal opinion.
You think this team, as presently constructed, can win the title?
People, wasn't we saying that after they came back on Golden State on Christmas Day? I thought we were talking about how Cleveland is looking like a championship team that they can repeat. I could have swore we was talking about this on Christmas Day.
We were.
Christmas Day when they beat Golden State Warriors.
We are.
Am I wrong?
Nah, you're not wrong, B. Look, here's the thing, man. Sometimes certain teams just have another team's card, right? Like, the Pelicans have beaten the Cavs, I think, the last some ridiculous like that, right? With or without Anthony Davis. Sometimes, look, maybe the players get to New Orleans, they go to Bourbon Street, they get lit, then they don't play well. I don't know. Sometimes it just happens. Look, I don't think it's because they lost to the Pelicans, which is the, like, it's not a knee-jerk reaction.
Right. Like,
when you're playing on the court, LeBron, and LeBron's exact quote was, "We're too top-heavy. We need a fucking playmaker." That's LeBron's exact quote. So what that tells me is they have scoring. They have the big three. But sometimes, right, like, because those guys, all three of those guys, like, LeBron, out of those three, LeBron is the guy that's the playmaker out of those three, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Kyrie is going to get buckets. K-Love is going to get buckets. LeBron, by default, is going to get buckets. LeBron is just saying, hey, I need somebody else to get other guys shots sometimes because they don't have that. Kay Felder, I like him. He's a playmaker, but he's a score-first type of point guard. He led NCAA in scoring. Am I wrong with that stat,
B? You're right.
I know you
thought. Yeah.
Exactly. So he's another scorer. Kyle Korver is another scorer, which spreads out the floor, but you don't have a guy that's setting all of these guys up. LeBron is the primary guy setting these guys up. So I understand the frustration. It doesn't mean that it doesn't make them less of a championship team. It's just LeBron saying, hey, I need more help getting other guys to rock, because when I come off the floor, who is there? There's nobody else. So I understand the basketball reason why he's saying what he's saying, and all he's doing is making sure David Griffin and the organization knows how he feels, and making sure the fans know how he feels, making sure that people understand the reason or some of the reasons why they might be on a small skid. It happens with every team, right? Like, except for, you know, the 70 plus win teams, which there's only been two. You know, but they won, what, almost 60 games last year? They're probably not going to win 60 games this year. But look, they are a championship contender, and they are extremely deep. They are missing just one piece. One piece. And it's not saying that if they don't get it, that they can't win. Because when you are in a playoff series, especially the finals, how many minutes you think LeBron's going to play? LeBron going to play 40-plus minutes. It's the finals. So he's just trying to save his minutes now so that way he can be fresh for then. And I get it. Here's the thing, B. I don't think that it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a good thing. I just think that when you are the guy on a squad, the franchise player, you have the leeway to make these type of comments. I don't feel no type of way. I think that he's right. I don't know. I don't think that he's wrong. Like, it is what it is. I think that it is perfectly fine for the star player to voice their opinion, especially when there is some merit behind it. They do need another playmaker.
I don't know if this, like, they're in a mini slump, right? And right. I think LeBron is frustrated by this slump, but the slump to me has a lot more to do with the defense they're playing than the lack of a playmaker. And this reared its head when they played the Warriors, and where they allowed the Warriors to shoot damn near 60%. And they haven't managed to get out of that funk yet. And I think we did talk about how Kyle Korver was a great addition, and he is. And he's going to make a difference in the playoffs. They haven't figured out a way to integrate him into that offense yet. Korver seems to be rushing shots. Because LeBron told him to take every shot he gets. So I think he's trying to get him more comfortable with playing with them. You know, we saw Lou kind of jab at the media talking about he knows what he's doing. So, and I think you said this, FIFO, at some point throughout the year, we go through this with the Cavaliers where LeBron gets frustrated. He lashes out. They do whatever. They right the ship. Like you said, B, he locks in, and they go to work. So I think not having J.R. Smith there puts a lot more on LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving. They
Look, I give you that J.R. Smith makes a difference defensively, but for the offensive complaints that LeBron has, J.R. Smith doesn't do anything.
I think, but true, but you're replacing J.R. Smith with Liggins. You see what I'm saying? I think that for me, yeah, they could, you know, look, LeBron has an idea of what the roster needs. He's had a conversation with David Griffin about whatever type of playmaker he's looking at. LeBron has an idea of what type of roster he needs to beat Golden State in the finals. To make it a little bit easier. I still think he firmly believes he can beat them with what they have because he's LeBron. But right. I think he knows that to make it just a little bit easier, get me another guy. So that's kind of how I see this playing out. But they go through this every single year, man. And he tends to do this every single year. And for me, how about develop some guys? How about develop Felder? And I don't know what's going on in practice, but develop Felder some more. Jordan McRae can score. So why are you not developing him? So
you know what?
Go ahead.
You have a legit gripe. And just think about this, right? When he was in Miami, Tyler Johnson was on that roster. He didn't get ticked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, look, LeBron is the type of player that it's not about developing. It's about winning right now. I don't need guys I need to develop, which is the reason why they got rid of Andrew Wiggins, why they got rid of a lot of young talent when LeBron got to town, because it's not about their development. Who are you going to get or draft that's going to be better than Bron? Look, I'm not going to waste my time trying to teach you all of this stuff. I'm here trying to worry about my legacy and trying to win right now. So I need guys that can do what I need right now. And I think that's a knock on LeBron. I think that's something that we need to really kind of put a negative on. That, yes, he makes players greater, but can he take somebody kind of from the bottom and bring them up? I haven't seen him do that. Haven't seen him do that.
You know what? And to FIFO's point, I think, like, for me, here's where I read the comments and then when I heard the audio, that I guess – you know, seeing it in print and then hearing the audio made it actually worse for me. I'm like, you're LeBron. Now, he's earned the right to say whatever he wants, but it's not a good look if your frustrations, you take your frustrations to the media, as opposed to if you're cool with David Griffin, who's the GM, or if you're cool with Dan Gilbert, who's the owner. You know, call them or pick up the phone or go walk upstairs to the office and talk to them. Don't air out your dirty laundry in the media. And then he sends out this, you know, passive aggressive ass tweet, you know, a couple hours later, you know, like if this is what we want to do. LeBron, listen, we know what your end game is. And I'm not mad at you because, yeah, he mentioned over the summer that he's chasing rings and he's chasing the legacy. You know, but a lot of this stuff I think this is just like Ken said, a funk. I think it's something, you know, that they're going through, and I don't know necessarily if he's looking at, okay, well, hey, we dropped some games to some teams that we should have that we shouldn't have, you know, lost to. But, you know, in that midst of losing those games, they got mopped by Golden State and they got beat by San Antonio. And LeBron played, I think, and somebody mentioned the minutes. He played 45 minutes against San Antonio, and then he came back, and I think last night he played like close to 40. He's averaging almost 40 minutes a game, he's averaging like almost 42 minutes a game. So it's like he's getting up in age, and I think at some point, probably sooner than later, between LeBron and Ty Lue, they're going to have to manage his minutes to the point where, you know, he's not exerting so much because they're going to need him for the stretch. And just case in point, and I know that they play different positions, but a guy who we've been talking about on just about every podcast, Russell Westbrook, he averages 36 minutes a game, and he's out here getting triple doubles. And so, you know, and we know Russell Westbrook goes hard every play. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I would like to see, for one, I would like to see Cleveland minimize LeBron's minutes. Maybe that'll and will you drop some games in the process? I don't think so, because you still got Love and Kyrie there to help you.
But Kyle, that's the problem. It's when you don't have another playmaker and then you try to reduce LeBron's minutes, who's going to get other guys' shots? Because Kyrie's going to get his. Right, he's going to get his. How are the other guys going to get theirs? How is Kyle Korver going to run around? Who's going to pass him the ball? Because Kyrie's shooting his. Kyrie driving his.
Okay, so
the ball, he's scoring.
So let me ask you this, FIFO. So at this point, and you know Kyrie's game, at this point, is it not feasible, or do you think it's even possible, plausible, that Kyrie could become more of a
– no.
Because he can get his own shot.
No.
He's trying.
He's not going to be more of a playmate. Look, here's the thing, right? Like earlier we had talked about, and I said that Kyrie or LeBron is starting to learn to play with Kyrie. Mm-hmm. What that means is that Kyrie is a score-first guy. He is a mini Kobe with supreme handles. Instead of having a post game like Kobe, he got handles. You know what I'm saying? That's his go-to right there, right? So that doesn't – like Kyrie is not just going to change and become a pass-first point guard or a playmaking point guard. Can he make plays? Yes. Can he pass like with some of the best? Yes. That's not his game, though. That's second or third or even fourth on his priority list as a basketball player. And that is perfectly fine because they won a championship that way.
Right.
But with that being said, they need somebody else to get the other guy's shots. It's just as simple as that. If I'm a coach, I'm not asking Kyrie to change his game drastically for the sake of the team, because I need him to be ultra hyper aggressive. If he's not that, we're not a great team.
And we know what happens to the Cavs when LeBron doesn't play. They don't stand a chance at winning. The other thing about this that I think we're missing is that, and FIFO kind of hinted at it, is he said, I'll be 33 in the winter.
In the winter.
And I ain't got time to waste. LeBron sees his basketball mortality is in front of him. He's a highly intelligent guy. He understands how this game is. He knows that his time is near, and he probably has a window of one or two more championships, and he's trying to get them now. He's trying to get this one, and he's going to try to get another one next year. And that's why there's a sense of urgency on him that he's feeling right now. I thought that was very interesting that he said that. Because he's never, like, he's talked about his age, but he's never talked about it that way.
Does anybody view this also as a means of panic to some degree? Because, you know, you look across and we know at the end of the day, Cleveland, they are the defending champions. But when you look across the NBA and you're like, well, wait a minute, we're the defending champions, but these guys over here, they went and got KD. We got to make sure that we're at least on pace with them. What he said today, does that sound like he's panicking?
Yes. Not panicking, but I think he's just more aware of what could happen based off that game. Because when Kyrie went out the game, that whole game changed. And I said this when we talked about it. When Kyrie picked up his second foul, the game started to really get away from them. And then Kevin Love got hurt, and then you're back to really kind of just LeBron. And then it's LeBron and Kyrie, LeBron and Kyrie. Like, who else is going to step up to help us win games the way that other players, even in small spurts, the way they do on the Warriors, Livingston to get 6 or 8 points here, you know, David West to get a key rebound or make a nice pass, you know, on that team. And they maybe only score 6 or 8 points, but they impact the game in a meaningful way. So, I think LeBron knows that they are lacking that on that team. He has to, like FIFO said, facilitate all of that to get everybody else in the game and get them going. Shumpert's tried, but Shumpert makes boneheaded plays. He's not that guy. So, and they just need another guy that's going to be able to impact the game. That's why he mentioned a veteran like Raymond Felton and I think Michael Beasley, because Michael Beasley is just a flat out scorer.
They don't need another scorer. LeBron's other quote was that he said we're top heavy,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they're gonna get buckets. Kyrie, Bron, and K-Love can shoulder the scoring load. They need a guy that's gonna get the other guy's shots. You know, like to me, the perfect person outside of his jumper that would fit this roster would be Rajon Rondo as the backup point guard. Why? Because you could take LeBron and Kyrie out, insert Rondo, and get everybody else going, bring back LeBron and Kyrie together to then bring K-Love out the game. You know what I'm saying? As a rotate. Like what they need is a guy that can spell LeBron and or Kyrie, and everybody else still gets involved.
Yes.
That's what they need. They don't have that. When LeBron comes out the game, who's getting everybody else involved? You have scorers galore all over the place. You have scorers all over the – off the bench, starting everywhere. Even like they have way more scorers than they have defenders right now. So those guys got to get the ball. How do they get the ball if LeBron's not playing? That's the problem.
And it looks ugly as hell if you've ever watched it. They look very bad. Here's something else. I don't know if you guys saw this. He tweeted, but I think this is kind of interesting. He says, and the tweet is, lately taking L's, but very soon we'll bounce back. Boy, frustrating as hell. I didn't know he was a rapper. I know my team will bounce back. If you're a real one, then you know how to bounce back. Which I find that interesting because he's torn them down and now he's trying to kind of build them back up. So I think it's a different form of leadership than we've seen in the past, especially from last year when he was cryptically tweeting about stuff here and there. It seems like he lashed out. He's had some conversations probably with Maverick and some of his other boys and probably with management, right? David Griffin.
I would just appreciate if he stopped with the passive aggressive stuff, man. Just,
I don't think that was passive-aggressive, though, Kyle. That was very direct. Ken,
I guess the reason why I say that, Ken, is because I'm just like, dude, you are LeBron James. You are the best player in the game. Or if you want to say he's the second best.
He's the best.
Top three. Whatever you want to call him. He is the standard. So my thing is this. Whatever you say is gold. Whatever you say on that team is money. Whatever you say, people will listen. So I don't think that you have to take to the media or take to, you know, Facebook or take to Instagram to get your point across. Not when you got 14 other guys right there, you know, at your feet to listen to what it is that you have to say. And you have an organization that will bend over backwards. I don't think that you have to do this through the media. Now, I understand that, you know, it's a different generation and maybe that's how they get down. I just think that's corny to me because LeBron is much bigger and better than that. I think he can. I would have preferred that if this was a story that got leaked, that, you know, LeBron is having these behind the door closed meetings with David Griffin and Dan Gilbert about what he wants the team to. That's different. You know what, Ken, to be honest, if it had gone down like that, I would have said nothing. I'd have been like, all right, cool. LeBron wants to see some changes. But to passively aggressive through the media, I'm like, dude, come on, man. You LeBron, you're not Mo Williams. You know what I'm saying? You're not the eighth guy on the bench. You're LeBron. You don't have to do this. You can just. Your word is your bond. And I understand I can understand his level of frustration because, like you said, Ken, when you watch it, I mean, like, I looked up and I'm like, whoa, they gave up 70 in a half? You know, and they just – and it could be some of the lingering effects. Maybe, like I said, maybe his minutes. You know, defensively, LeBron has not been where he is. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure he's pacing himself because he's being asked, as always, to do so much of what people talked about. So what I would like to see going forward, and to be honest, even in saying all of what we said, I don't know if there's a player or two. Now, Rondo is a great call. I think he would be perfect. You know, but what do you have to give up to get Rondo? You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure Rondo would love to get the hell out of Chicago. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, man. I wish he would have kept it in-house. I don't disagree with what it is that he's talking about to some degree. But then, you know, you're going to have – but understand that when you're LeBron, you're going to have your skeptics. And they're going to say, well, look, this is the, like I said, you, he's the GM, so you know, you constructed this team, so let's roll with it. And I think that this team, as constructed, they don't add anybody else. They have more than enough to run with Golden State and beat Golden State. Will they? I don't know. But they got enough because they got LeBron.
I like that he did it this way. We rarely see that. We remember when Kobe dogged Smush Parker and Kwame Brown. We remember when Kobe was on telling Stephen A. Smith publicly on radio that he wanted to be traded from L.A. Stars do this. We know how Jordan is on his players and how Kobe was on the players that he played with. He's demanding and wants excellence. And he said that he's had this conversation with David Griffin already. This is just him after a game. He just lashed out. And I don't have a problem with it. It's not passive aggressive. It's very direct. He could have taken a more passive route, but I think this was very open, and he was just like, look, we need playmakers, and we need to do something because this is getting out of hand. So earlier today, it was reported, actually at 7:58 p.m. is the time of this article, that Ben Simmons, man, his foot came back cleaned. It was scanned yesterday. And as of right now, they don't have a timetable for his return to play. But he's almost ready, man. And the expectation is that it'll be after the All-Star break, maybe around March. I think if you're in Philly, this is definitely good news because Philly have won the last 7 of their last 10 games. So, and, you know, Philly, I mean, Ben Simmons looked good, and he was impressive in summer league. So what do you think, Ralph? I mean, Philly has a tendency to bench their guys like they did with Joel Embiid and Okafor, I believe. Oh, Noel.
Nope. What? Nope. I'm not playing Ben. And I'm saying this for singular reasons. If I was Ben Simmons, I know I could be rookie of the year. And Joel got that sold up. Joel Embiid is the rookie of the year. I want to say I made a claim on Dead End Sports that I thought he was going to be rookie of the year before the season, but I don't remember me saying that all the way. So, but if I'm Ben Simmons and I know I'm going to be the next great guy, I want to be rookie of the year. I want to win some MVPs. I want to be on some All-Star squads. I want to be on some All-NBA teams because Rookie of the Year is only a one-time thing. It's not like he could win it in the second year. You can't go back and win that award. If he starts now, he can't win that. So individually, I would want him not to play because I want him to get that award. But if I'm Philly and he's healthy and I'm part of that organization – I definitely want to see what it looks like this season. But at the same time, their process is sitting out. What's the rush? Now, they are – the way they're playing right now, they're trying to make a playoff push. And yeah. I think that if they are in true contention, then you got to bring Ben back. But you also run the risk of messing up the chemistry. Even though Ben Simmons makes everybody around him better – you still got to get acclimated to somebody like that once they've already found their groove. So I don't know, man. I think it's a double-edged sword. I don't think that there's a right or wrong way to go about it. Again, individually, if I'm Ben Simmons, I don't want to play this year because I want to win Rookie of the Year. But as an organization, hell yeah, I want Ben Simmons to play.
B, tell this man he lost his mind. Tell him Simmons got to play, man.
No, Ralph ain't lose his mind, man. What? I agree, man. Yes, I know, Ken. Why you want to see him play? I think, like people perfectly said it, what's the rush? What are you rushing for? This man is young as hell. Let him heal up. Coming into next season with him and him, MD playing together, man, that's going to be magical, man. That's going to be so wonderful to see. I know what you're probably thinking, Ken. Why not just go out there and test the waters now? Like, go and see what he can do. No, because guess what? If something happened and he have another setback, then we're all looking stupid and we probably won't see him until mid next season or something like that. Let him just rest up. You know, I probably play in the summer league a little bit again with the up and coming rookies and stuff. And you know, preseason, see what he test him out then. But not now. Not now. Don't do it now. Let that man let Simmons come back 155,000% fresh and ready to go, man. I think plus it will put an extra ump into the NBA season next year. You know, it's like, okay, Ben Simmons sat. Can you imagine the excitement? Even just for the city of Philadelphia. Okay, Ben Simmons sat, you know, rest all year. Now we're coming in, you know, Joel Embiid about to play more minutes. He's gotten better. Da 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 da. Just all the excitement going into that. You don't want to just blow it up just because, oh, well, we think Ben Simmons is ready. He say he's ready. Let's go put him out there. And then like people said, he won't get that rookie of the year from an individual standpoint. Let Joel Embiid get that sold up, win it. Next year, Ben Simmons come back, you win a rookie of the year. There it is. So, yeah, I agree with FIFO, Ken. I'm sorry. Sorry you alone on this one, but I agree with FIFO.
Man, I think the city has suffered enough. I think they need to see what this will look like now.
And they love what MD doing this season, man. They loving it. He's bringing a lot of energy. I don't think they're suffering.
Just over the last 5 years, I want to see what he's going to do. I don't want to wait until November.
Build that anticipation, man. Build it up.
I don't know, man. I'll put it to you like this. There, Philly right now, you know, is the hot, like one of the hottest teams in the NBA. When you watch Philly play, like they're playing really, really well now, but it's all off of Joel Embiid. Can you imagine having that one extra added piece to that? And I know you run the risk of him re-injuring himself. And they've been cautious with Embiid all year long, which is why they probably don't have a better record. But I think for me and for that city, it would be nice to see what they have now. And I, who have been down on Ben Simmons, am the one that's pushing for him to play. And you guys, and yeah, I get the whole personal accomplishment adding to the resume of rookie of the year type of thing, but it's all about winning, man. And I think if you look long term and they say, for instance, they make the playoffs, you're probably headed for a first round exit, so maybe it may not be worth it.
Right. It's not. It's really not, because, you know, they have the third worst record in the East. So it's like, go ahead and just chalk it up. Let Ben Simmons rest up. It's gonna be a chance for you to have another high draft pick. Just no. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just let Ben Simmons rest up and come into the season excitement with another top draft, you know, another top five possibly draft pick. You know, you might land in that top five spot. Yeah, just suck it up, man. Don't even rush bringing him out there.
I think – I don't know, man. I have a sneaky suspicion. They might make the playoffs, man. They're starting to figure this whole thing out, which kind of leads me into the next thing that I sent you guys. And this thing actually hit me, and it seems a little crazy, but I'm basically calling Joel Embiid as like the LeBron James of the Philadelphia 76ers. And to some people that may be clear and obvious, but we've seen like the impact he's had when he's on the court versus the impact he's had when he's not playing. In spite of them winning tonight. And the other thing, like, because he's completely changed that organization playing every other game. And when he's not playing, they look absolutely lost. They don't look as good. And the other thing is Embiid imparts upon them confidence, the willingness to win, the expectation to win. And I think he is the future of the NBA. He's very charismatic. People like him. And adding Ben Simmons to that formula later on, maybe next year, maybe at the end of the year, he has them competing for a playoff spot. FIFO, you were spot on. This guy is special, man. But I didn't know he was LeBron James special.
He is, man. He look, that's what a franchise player is supposed to do. He's supposed to come in and overnight, single-handedly, damn near get you to the playoffs, especially if he's young. And if he's already seasoned by himself, he will get you to the playoffs. That is what a superstar player does. Not an all-star player, not an Al Horford, not an Isaiah Thomas, not even a DeMar DeRozan. A superstar player will get any franchise with damn near any person, any personnel on that roster to the playoffs. That's what Joel Embiid is. I knew he was a superstar. Now, here's the thing. He's not the LeBron James of Philly. Ben Simmons is the LeBron James of Philly. We just haven't seen that yet. And Ken, let me tell you this, man. I was spot on with Joel Embiid. I am telling you, this boy Ben Simmons is the real deal.
Don't say Joel Embiid. He could have transformed Philly like this.
Huh? Ben?
If Joel Embiid wasn't there and it was Ben Simmons and not Joel.
Yes. Hands down. I have no question about it. Hands down. Ben Simmons is a bona fide superstar, bona fide franchise player. Him by himself will get you to the playoffs. Ben Simmons is that guy. And now they got two of those guys. I don't think that – look, man, I'm telling you, Ben Simmons is a better passer than LeBron James. You heard it here already. I'm telling you, better passer than LeBron James.
That's saying a lot.
I know that's saying a lot, but I stand behind my word. Just like I told y'all, and I've been telling everybody, Joel Embiid is going to be the best big man that you're going to see. The best since Hakeem. In terms of offensively, best since Hakeem. And he has more stuff than Hakeem. So we could – yo, I'm telling you, Ben Simmons is the LeBron James of that team. You think Joel's nice? Wait till Ben plays.
I don't know, man. I hear, and I haven't seen him play. We don't know. We'll find out.
I know. You may not know. I know.
I don't know, and I'm reserving the right to wait because, to me, Ben Simmons can be more Kyrie than Embiid, meaning you look great, the numbers look great, but what type of impact are you having on the organization? You may win a game here or there, but the expectations that Embiid is bringing – to this team, I think, is different than what Ben Simmons will bring. Because I don't know if Ben Simmons is that in-your-face type of leader. You know what I'm saying?
But like, you know what? But here's the thing, Ken. It's not about the leadership. Because there's different ways of leading. You know what I'm saying? There's different ways of leading. It's about the impact on the court. Right? And number one is belief, making the other players around you believe you can win because you're that good. Everybody else believes they can win. And then the second thing is making those players better. Joel Embiid does both, but he has more belief than making people around him better. And it's just because by nature of his position, he's a center. Can he make other people better? Yes, but he's not going to elevate them to the point like a point guard or a ball dominant type of player, right? Ben Simmons is that. Ben Simmons has more of make everybody around me better, and then the belief is behind that. So either way, both of these guys are the guy, and Philly is going to be fine. Ben Simmons, I'm telling you now, Ken, he's their LeBron James. Embiid is going to be their second best player.
Second best player, FIFO.
You heard it, Ken. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you how nice Ben Simmons is, and I'm not just talking out the side of my neck to try to make a point. I am giving you my God honest true belief.
No, I know you believe it, but they can't – there's nobody – maybe one or two or three guys in the NBA right now that can stop Embiid. It's not many because the center position, of course, has been devalued a little bit. But we got Cat. You know, we got other big guys that can match up with him. But it's not a lot. But nevertheless, the guy is damn near unstoppable. He can score from anywhere on the court. And you're saying Ben Simmons is going to be better than him?
Yep.
You're saying Ben, I think Joel Embiid has top five potential in the league.
I agree.
And Ben Simmons is top four?
I think Ben Simmons is going to be the best basketball player in the league when he hits his prime.
I don't know, B.
That's saying a lot, man. I don't know. I mean, hey, it's people's belief. If you believe that, I don't know. But I still think Embiid is going to be the guy that you know, he's going to be the oil for that machine. You know what I'm saying? But Ben Simmons, you know, like I said, I knew he was a great passer, but I didn't know he was a great of a passer until I started watching him in the summer league. And I was like, damn. But, I mean, I can't. He's still got to put in work for me to say he's going to be better than LeBron, as far a better passer than LeBron. Because LeBron, I mean, over throughout his career, LeBron has made some passes. I was like, Jesus Christ, is this Magic Johnson reincarnated? So I won't give Ben that nod yet that he's better. I can say he might end up being a better passer than LeBron, but I can't say that right now, today, Ben Simmons is a better passer than LeBron James. Like, I can't say that now. But who knows what the future holds? But yeah, Fibo is, he's big on Ben Simmons, but I don't know, man. I think Embiid is still gonna be the guy that's gonna he's gonna be that engine for that Sixers, man. Look, just like what Ken said, look how much energy, like, he, even players around him, they're just so energetic when he's out there on the floor. Like, you know, I don't see Ben Simmons, you know, having that same impact as far as just the energy and the aura that he brings off to his teammates. You know, he might show it with his play, but as far as just the emotion that he brings, I don't know.
Look, here's the thing, right? Like, when the Bulls were at their best after Jordan, right, when D. Rose was MVP and all of that, who was the best player? D. Rose. Who was their emotional leader? Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah.
Right? So what I'm saying is that their best player is going to be Ben Simmons. Their emotional leader, their rah-rah guy, is by far Embiid. The difference is that Embiid is also going to be a top five player in the NBA, but Ben Simmons is going to be better than that. He's not going to be – his personality doesn't lend to being the rah-rah guy or anything like that. Ben Simmons' play, the way he's going to get people involved, his passing, his cachet, like, just –
got to work on that shot.
He got to work on a shot. But every young player gets better.
That's, he could be like Kawhi.
Yeah, the offense is going to come in terms of shooting ability. That's going to come. It comes with every young – well, the majority of young players. Every player that wants to be great and they already know that they're going to be one of the best, their shot improves, every single one of them, right? And we're putting Ben Simmons already at that level. He's already at that level. We know that. He is going to be the primary reason why they win games. He is going to get everybody involved. He's the one that's going to raise the level of play of everybody around him. Somebody that was a bum on another team is going to look borderline all-star playing next to Ben Simmons. Now, Joel Embiid is going to make you play harder. He's going to make you believe, but he's not going to himself raise your play.
I think your basketball has.
Huh?
He has.
He's gotten everybody hyped. He's Joakim Noah. He's a better Joakim. He's better than Joakim, but emotionally, that's what he has. Emotionally, these guys on the Philly roster are invested, and they believe, and they're playing at a higher level, but not because of what Embiid brings on the court. It's the emotion that makes them better. Ben Simmons on the court, basketball-wise, you make a cut that you don't think that you're going to get the ball, you're going to get the ball, you're going to get an easy layup. Joel Embiid can't get you that layup.
No, he can't, because he won't have the ball.
He doesn't make the game easier for everybody. What he's doing is just simply elevating the level of play. But he's not making people necessarily around him better. He's not getting somebody five extra points. He's not doing that. Ben is going to do that.
Haven't seen Joel Embiid play. Haven't seen the impact he's had on that organization. When I look at him right now, I'm thinking NBA championship. Now, I haven't seen Ben Simmons play in an NBA setting with other NBA athletes. When Joel Embiid is on the court, he's already one of the best players, and depending on who he's playing against, may be the best player on the court. Joel Embiid, with the right pieces around him, can win a title. I'm thinking title for him. I'm not thinking this guy is just another great player. Like, even Cat, like, when I see Cat play, I'm not thinking title with Cat. Not yet.
Oh, you tripping. You are tripping. What are you watching?
I don't know, man. Cat is a great player. I think he can be a top five. I don't know.
He is going to be top five.
I don't know if I see, like, when we're talking about, and Cat could do some things that, you know, that really is indicative of what the five is now or what it's becoming. Embiid, man, like you said, man, he got all the Akeem moves. Like, he got it all. Like, it's like I'm watching Akeem all over again. And we saw what Akeem did. And so I can imagine what – and Akeem, I don't think he had a Ben Simmons. A Ben Simmons that you're projecting him to be on his team.
Here's the thing. Right, like, remember a couple years ago, you didn't like what Philly was doing. Oh, well, they don't need a and all of these draft picks and it, and I don't even know about Joel Embiid and this, that. Look, man, look. Joel Embiid, you're 100% right. He is going to be, I think, the best big man in the league sooner rather than later. I think that, and I've been saying, Karl-Anthony Towns is a four, not a five. Joel is a five.
Yeah.
Cat can win in the league, right? He has the same amount of impact on a game to me that Joel Embiid does. They have the same amount of impact. Both of those guys are at the same level. Both of those guys are, to me, are going to be competing for championships. I said it at the beginning of this season. I said it at the beginning of last season. Minnesota and Philadelphia are going to be competing for championships. When the Golden State run is over, when Cleveland's run is going to be toward its end, who's going to take over the NBA? It's going to be Philly. It's going to be Minnesota. Those are the two teams with the most young talent in the NBA. If they continue to develop, they continue to play ball the way they're playing ball, they're going to get better. The difference is that Minnesota has one top five guy and two other guys that are probably going to, if they max out top 15, or top 20 in the league, Philadelphia has two top five guys. That's the difference. And I'm telling you, Ken, you didn't believe it when I told you Embiid was going to be this good. You're not believing it now, and I'm glad it's documented so you can have all of these worries and all of that. I'm trying to pacify them right now. Ben Simmons is going to be the best player in the NBA. Mark my words.
Oh, I believe I can see that. I can see that.
Ben? You can see Ben.
Oh, wait, well, no. I heard Joel Embiid.
No. Ben Simmons, mark my words.
Joel.
Between 5 to 6 years from now, he's going to be the best player hands down in the NBA. Hands down. Like, not even questionable.
So let me ask you this, because Minnesota and the game tonight outcome is still in balance as at the time of this recording, but they're 16 and 28. Actually, Minnesota just won it, 112 to 111. I don't know who scored that, but anyway, who has the better roster, the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Philadelphia 76ers?
Right now, Minnesota. Right now, Minnesota.
And Embiid already got, and they have identical records with just Embiid.
The West is tougher.
Okay, that's valid.
The West is tougher. And this is year one of Tom Thibodeau. This is what, year four of Brett Brown? Different.
Better personnel. But the West is tougher. I'll give you that. That's valid.
But let's not understate the fact of a year one Tom Thibodeau. The message, the delivery of the message, the expectation level is completely different right now for Minnesota. Right? They have to get acclimated to that.
And they're thinking about winning now.
Who?
Where Minnesota. Bringing in Thibodeau, they're looking like, I think they were expecting to compete for a playoff spot. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Of course.
Yeah.
And we all thought that.
But here's the thing.
What Thibodeau signifies is the transition into a winning organization.
Right.
That's what Thibodeau signifies. So we can't hold them to that high standard year one. Year one is always trial and error, especially with the youngest roster in the NBA. They're younger than Philly.
Yeah, but I think where I was going with that was that Minnesota, like you said, they're transitioning to, we're ready to start competing not only for a playoff spot, but eventually titles. Philadelphia is really in year one because we didn't know, they knew.
They're not in year one, Ken. They're also in transition too. The reason why, look at their roster, right? They have veterans now. Veterans that know how to play the NBA game, which is the reason why they're not the youngest team in the NBA. Minnesota is. The Philadelphia is also in a transition. It's just a different type of transition. They didn't have to change their head coach or their message or their philosophy. What they had to change was personnel to get that young team, right, the Joel Embiids of the world, the Ben Simmonses of the world, all of those guys to understand what it is to win in an NBA game. Right. And then Joel Embiid, being the emotional leader he is getting those guys over the hump, obviously with his talent as well. When you look at Minnesota, what they have a better collection of overall talent, but they're also younger. They don't know how to close out games. I've watched a whole bunch of Minnesota games where they lead. Mm-hmm. I think they're number one in the NBA of having a lead in the third quarter and then losing the game. What does that tell you? They don't have the experience to close out NBA caliber teams, but they have more talent. So what Thibodeau is their transition into that expectation of closing out teams. But until you gain experience, you cannot close out teams in the NBA. The same reason why you got to go into the playoffs and get your ass whooped, because you learn from that. What Philly's doing right now is their transition is adding veteran players, the Jared Bayless's of the world, the Sergio Rodriguez's of the world, the who's another guy that they Gerald Henderson. You know what I'm saying? Those guys are NBA vets that are great teammates, great teachers. They're gonna help the other young guys, the Nick Stauskas, the Covingtons, the Joel Embiids, to understand what it is to close out games. Minnesota doesn't have that. So they're in the same place, just a different approach. And that's the thing about the NBA. That's the parody of the NBA, is that you're going to have teams in a similar level or a similar place, but their approach to it is different. That's all it is, Ken. Their approach is different. What Minnesota is doing, they have to take their lumps. And then it's accentuated because you have a proven guy, and Tom Thibodeau is going to take a little bit of time. And mind you, I was one of the guys that I'm like, oh, my God, Minnesota's going to make the playoffs. But after watching them, they're still young. They're by far – their average age is 23. You're not going to win NBA games like that.
But see, the way I see it is Minnesota is – they're two different transitions. So Minnesota is transitioning to compete. Let's take our lumps. We're ready to make a playoff run. We thought it was going to be this year. It's not. No, we thought it was going to be this year. It's not. Okay. But when I look at Philly, I see Joel Embiid, 16 wins, probably 10 of them due to him, and a whole bunch of mess. Right, they still got to figure out what they're going to do with Okafor. They got to figure out Noel. They got these veterans around. That's great, but they still have to figure out this roster. I think Minnesota is closer to what they want to be roster-wise than Philly. Philly now has seen Embiid on the court. They've seen how they compete with other teams with him on the court. Now they got to get Ben Simmons in. And now they have to kind of clean up the roster and get it to a point where it could get to where Minnesota is at right now, where we're looking at Minnesota's roster and be like, oh, they can
compete. Can I disagree? And this is the reason why I disagree. This is why I disagree. What's the young talent in Minnesota? Name me those guys.
We have LaVine. We have Dunn. We have Cat. We have Wiggins.
Okay, so that's four, right? So yeah. Name me the young talent. Name me the young talent in Philly.
Simmons. We have Embiid. We have Noel. We have Okafor.
Right.
I don't know how old Saric is.
No, Saric is young too.
Okay.
He's like 22, 21. Like he's dumb young, right? So Philly has more guys. They have more young talent, but their average age is older, right? And Philly still needs to, I agree with you, tweak the roster. But Minnesota is still too young. They don't even know. Look, Thibodeau doesn't even know if he wants Chris Dunn. Thibodeau doesn't know if he wants Zach LaVine. The only thing that is guaranteed in Minnesota is Karl Anthony Towns. Wiggins isn't even guaranteed. Nobody on that roster is guaranteed. But I'll tell you this, Philly has two guaranteed guys. That's the difference. And they have multiple draft picks and other talent that they can move around. So they can get back even more. Where Minnesota, look, the only point I'm trying to make is that both of these teams are in the same boat. They're just taking slightly different approaches to get to the next level. Both of these teams are going to be the model of the NBA. Build through the draft. Well, obviously, Minnesota also had to make some trades too, but build through the draft, develop young talent, get the right environment around them through the front office, also through the players that are on the roster, and they will make that transition. Both of these teams are on the same trajectory, the same path, Ken. I don't know the lens that you're looking through it through, but it's the same thing, man. It's happening on both sides, East and West. It's the same thing.
I think the results of the season thus far has given us the same thing. But at the beginning of the season, when we look at Minnesota, we're thinking, oh, they can compete. We found out that they're too young and they have to take their lumps. When we looked at Philly at the beginning of the season, we didn't know if they could compete at all. We just knew they had Embiid and Ben Simmons and a mess of a roster that still needs cleaning. That's the difference between the two. I think we found out that they're kind of on the same level.
Not necessarily, Ken, because I also said at the beginning of the season that Philly was going to be a lot better than what people thought because of Sergio Rodriguez, because of the offense that Brett Brown is running, because of all of the guys that were finally going to be here, the Dario Saric's, right? A stretch. This guy's 6'10", 6'11", stretch four with a little bit of handle.
We didn't have Minnesota at 16 wins at this part in the season.
No, I thought Minnesota could be as high as number six in the West.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I did too. I thought Minnesota was going to be like a 6-7 seed in the West.
That's what I'm saying. The expectations for both teams at the beginning of the year were different. But
they were.
To find out they're pretty much the same.
But it wasn't because of the players. It was because of the coach. The only reason why Minnesota had an expectation level was because of Thibodeau. Because if who was the coach that was it? Sam Mitchell? If Sam Mitchell was there again, do you think that we have the expectation level of them making the playoffs the way that they were?
No.
Or did we think that they were going to make it because of Tom Thibodeau?
We thought Tom Thibodeau was going to be the key factor.
So therefore, the talent on the rosters are pretty much the same. The difference was the coach. And we realize that the experience is what's holding them back. It's not anything else. It's not the talent. It's not that they got three guys under the age of 22 averaging 20 points a game. Never been done in the history of the NBA. And they only have 16 wins. Why? Experience. D-Wade.
D-Wade, man, things aren't looking too good in in Chicago. They're below.
Yeah, so what's going on? I didn't even hear about this. What's going on with D-Wade in Chicago?
Basically, Dwayne Wade is pulling his Big Ben Roethlisberger right now. So he's saying that the rest of the Bulls season will influence his decision on the player option. He's saying that he's 35 and he has in his head a certain number of years that he wants to play. And he's saying, looking at the way this season is going and the future, he said, you know, he doesn't know if he's going to be back. So I don't know, man. Are we really nearing the end of Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, we are. We are heading at the end of D Wade, man. Just think, you know, he played pretty tough, like, you know, rough in his earlier careers, and we started seeing wear and tear of his body, you know, during the LeBron James era, you know, when LeBron James came there. So, yeah, man, we are hitting towards the end, man. You know, 35. Let's not forget, you know, you hit 32, 33. You kind of heading towards that. You looking at your career like, okay, I know I got a certain amount of years left. I want to make a certain amount of money. I don't know if he's going. And I thought he was going to probably stay there and probably finish off his last 3 or 4 years in Chicago in his hometown. But, you know, I don't know if that organization is just in a disarray that we just don't know about. And he's trying to get up out of there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I think, you know, they are probably in worse hot mess than what we perceived them to be already. So, and D-Wade probably was like, all right, I think this was kind of a mistake to be here a little bit. Maybe I do want to go maybe play with my buddy LeBron one last time and try to get a win out there. You know, be that playmaker that LeBron's been screaming about that he wants. You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I didn't even know. This is my first time hearing that comment that D-Wade's saying. And I think we are. I mean, I was saying that last year. When he left Miami, I was thinking, like, okay, this is about to be Dwayne Wade's, you know, final last little hoorah years, you know, before he hangs it up. So
he didn't expect to go walk into a 22-23 situation where
exactly
where you have a coach who doesn't even know who he wants to play point guard
for. Because you got to think like this. Yeah, he's in the tours in his career, but I think Dwayne Wade still wants to win. Yeah. You know, he don't want. You know, because like I said, he was going in the Chicago situation thing. Like, you know what, we in the East, we can possibly be, you know, 2, 3, 4 seed in the East and be competing. You know, at least trying to compete for that Eastern Conference crown, even though they didn't want to get it. But, you know, at least try to be one of those teams that's going to compete against Cleveland for that Eastern Conference crown. And the way this, they what, barely like an eighth seed, not a 7 eighth seed right now in the in the East, and I think D Wade is like, this is not what I signed up for at this point of my career, you know?
Yeah, man. You know, look, when you are the third best guy to do what you do at your position, when you're toward the end of your career, you're not just playing for a paycheck. You're not just trying to pay to get them checks. You want to play to win. And I think Chicago was an emotional signing for D Wade. Mainly because all of that time in Miami, and you know he deserves a statue outside of that damn arena. He's like, he won 3 championships for that, for that organization. That's the only championships that they've ever won were under D Wade's watch. And that president, Pat Riley, the Hall of Famer, is supposed to take care of you. He doesn't do that. What are you supposed to do? The decision is going to be emotional. And for him to go back home, I think was safe. But now that he sees the difference between playing for a championship contender and then just making that emotional decision, I think he wants to play for a contender again. And here's the thing. Do I think he comes back to Chicago? Probably not. I think he might go over there and play with Pop. You know, I think D-Wade is going to find himself in a situation where he can contribute and win on a championship team. Where is that? I don't know. But I don't think he comes back to Chicago. I think he loves mentoring and playing with Jimmy Butler, but I don't think that's enough to keep him there. I think that Chicago, if they wanted to keep D-Wade and truly build a contender, then you know what? You got to make some moves by this trade deadline. What moves do they make? I don't know. Does it make them better? I don't know. Are they a championship contender? Probably not. So I think D-Wade does not finish his career in Chicago. I don't think he plays in Cleveland. I don't think that there's going to be a LeBron D-Wade reunion. But I do think this. D-Wade is going to finish his career on a championship squad. And I don't think that he's going to be a starter either.
I think that the Bulls got a hot mess going on. And I think that they need to get players in there that fits Horbert's coaching style. Because right now they haven't done a good job of that. And at this moment, we don't know how good of a coach he is or will be in the NBA. So, okay. Yeah.
So, I'm going to tell you this. Hoiberg's not going to get a fair shot at Chicago. They're going to fire him before he gets that opportunity. It's unfair, but it's just one of those things. It's kind of like D'Antoni with the Lakers. If you're not going to give him his type of roster, then what are you going to expect? And unfortunately, I think they're going to get rid of Hoiberg before they are able to put the roster that Hoiberg will be effective with.
Well, they're shopping Rondo and Mirotic, so they're planning on making moves. But anyway, that's going to do it for us, man. We out. We'll catch y'all next week. Peace.